Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened on Friday and where the hell we are today?
I believe we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 25.
We did.
Which means that today we're getting into Isaiah chapter 26.
Not Isaiah.
Shit. Hold on. So we're doing Jeremiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know how I got back to Isaiah again.
Again.
That was crap. But I even said it wrong. So like now I have to go back in Jeremiah chapter 25.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They were passing around a cup of poison wrath juice or something like that. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wrath juice.
And like he was saying that, you know, everybody's going to die except for these group of people that listen to him and go get captured and enslaved for like 70 years. And then they might be okay and they can come back and live eventually. And then they'll all be wonderful and good.
Yes.
Is that about right?
That sounds about right.
Because they wouldn't have drank the wrath juice.
I'm still stuck on wrath juice.
Got it.
So, like, what kind of animal is the wrath?
I don't know.
You must squeeze the wrath
out of the...
and get the juice of the wrath and drink the
Why
wrath.
Why does it got to be an animal? It could be a fruit.
It is a fruit. You're right. No, that makes better sense.
Right, yeah. Wrath fruit, you know?
What if you steeped it? Made it into tea. Wrath tea.
There you go. You can have some wrath tea. Yeah.
Okay. That's how I probably would prefer it, with a bit of honey.
Right.
And
maybe... I like creamer in my tea, actually. So
that's
like
gross.
Milk, you know, that's good stuff.
I do not want cream in my wrath tea.
Oh, man. It's really good.
No.
Nope. Anyway, that was Jeremiah, chapter 25.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into...
Not Isaiah. Jeremiah, chapter 26.
All right. Let's do this.
Okie dokie.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, hopping into Jeremiah chapter 26.
Okay.
Not Isaiah.
Not Isaiah, yeah.
Not Isaiah.
Definitely not Isaiah.
In the beginning...
Wait, we've gone through so much. We're not starting over again. Fuck this shit.
Of the reign of Joachim, the son of Josiah.
Okay.
Not the very beginning.
I was going to say that. That was disturbing for just a second.
Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped where I did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. King of Judah, you know, Josiah, Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. This word that I'm about to say came from the Lord. Saying,
just this word.
Ready?
Yeah.
Thus says the Lord. Okay.
Okay. So this sounds like more than one word.
It's like the word is the message.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the bird. The bird is not the word.
Got it. Okay.
Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings is.
So he's basically saying, and the time frames are still screwed up, right? Because there's a point where we had already reached that he was like, no, there is no repenting. There is no going back. Y'all are fucked.
Yes. I'm glad that you said that because two things that I probably should have prefaced this chapter with, but I instead just jump right in.
Sure.
I'm all discombobulated.
Right. It was probably because I said Isaiah in the intro.
You fucked me all up.
Yeah, I fucked you all up.
So first of all, in the Septuagint, you know, the Greek copy of this.
Right.
This chapter is numbered as Jeremiah 33, not 26.
Really?
Yeah. So it's out of order even.
But even at 33,
even worse.
Right.
Yeah. Because the events of this chapter take place at the beginning of the reign of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, whereas the events of the previous chapter take place in the fourth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah. Joachim reigned from 609 to 598 BCE. This prophecy apparently came before that invasion, when many of the leaders of Judah felt that they could still avoid the Babylonian conquest.
But why does the Bible feel the need to put these things in such an order that they are, I mean, just, they're so confusing as to not even hardly make sense because you keep bouncing back and forth between ideas that don't relate in any type of timeline or sequence, you know?
This is the order they were stapled together.
No, I get it.
You keep saying that.
I get it.
It's like, have you ever been carrying a bunch of papers and then you accidentally drop them and you pick them up real quick and shuffle them and then you're not paying attention and you forget that they got out of order and then you staple them and then you read through them later and you're like, oh shit, but it's too late. You got to get to the meeting or whatever.
Mm.
And then you pass them out to everybody at the meeting and you're like, by the way, I'm really sorry, but pages 6 and 7 are backwards from each other. Just know when you get there.
Sure.
And so you like verbally convey, yeah, sorry, I got this out of order, but y'all are smart. You can figure this out. And I'm telling you, so you know.
Right. But you would think that after thousands of years, we could be like, okay, look, guys, look, I know it's in this order, but like it's wrong.
We could put it in actual order.
We could fix this, you know?
Yeah. But that would be like... that would be like making an amendment to the Constitution. You don't just do it, right?
But they used to do it all the time, way back when, right? You know, but now we don't do it hardly at all.
Things got stuck. And then if you change it now, it's like, what the fuck? We don't change things.
I guess.
They're stuck forever this way.
I guess.
We'll never change the Constitution of the United States ever again. And we'll never change the order of the Bible ever again. Some things are just glued the way they are because tradition or what the fuck ever.
If you say so.
I'm not saying I like it that way. I'm just reporting the news to you, sir, that's the way it be.
I got it.
So Jeremiah's message here in this chapter seems to be the same one he already preached in Jeremiah chapter 7.
Okay. Right,
so we're reading the same message. But here the emphasis is on the hostile response to his sermon at the temple. So before, it was more about like his perspective, what was happening, and like he's telling us stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And here we're going to be seeing how they responded to that.
But okay? We already talked about how much he doesn't, they don't like him.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. But there's going to be more reaction. So just hang tight. Okay. So I'm going to get going. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. Okay, and then he tells Jeremiah, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets, plural.
Yeah, yeah.
The prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded.
That you have not heeded. Right.
That's in parentheses, voice. Then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth.
Mm.
So what the fuck is Shiloh, right?
Sure.
Okay. So Shiloh, the city of Shiloh was the place conquered and destroyed by the Philistines.
Okay.
And we actually read about that in 1 Samuel and also in Psalm 78.
I mean, the name sounded familiar, but I didn't specifically remember the context.
So. I did not remember the name or the context.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm like, I've never heard of it. And that often happens to me.
Well, I mean, we've covered a lot.
There's too many geographies to cover.
There are.
The Philistines killed the priests and captured the Ark of the Covenant, and Israel felt as if God's glory had departed.
That's
what happened in Shiloh. All
right. I gotcha. Okay? Yep.
And Shiloh was destroyed about 1050 BC by the Philistine incursion into the land, blah, blah, blah. And there is actually archaeological evidence to support this, apparently.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shiloh was not far from Jerusalem, and the people could actually see the evidence of its destruction from where they were.
Okay.
So they were using something that they could actually.
It was relevant.
Yeah.
It was
exactly
in their line of sight, essentially.
Yeah. It was in their everyday zeitgeist.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, So he's going to make this shit like Shiloh. Okay.
Yep.
So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, are these the in the speech, he was saying that God sent prophets, plural.
Uh-huh.
Are those same prophets the ones seizing Jeremiah?
No, not the prophets. The priests and, some of the false prophets, not the good ones.
Okay.
All right. There's some false prophets and priests and then just regular people in the crowd. They're like, get him.
Okay.
Okay, we don't like you. And so they were like seizing him and they said, you will surely die. Okay. That's what they're telling them.
Yeah.
Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord.
Now, hold on a second. Jeremiah actually prophesies towards them, telling them that they surely will die if they keep going against God's word, right?
Uh-huh.
He's essentially threatening them as well.
Yeah.
From their standpoint, they see God's message as something else.
Right.
And they're saying he will surely die.
Yeah.
So I don't see how this
Everybody's going to die.
Right. It's just different perspectives is all that's happening here. And they adamantly don't like his message.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't understand it's the same thing, right? Just two sides of the same thing.
You're supposed to be on team Jeremiah and be like, oh, that poor guy.
No, I know what team I'm supposed to be on, but I don't understand how these people are supposed to know which team they're supposed to be on, other than Jeremiah is telling them, it's my side. But there's other people saying, no, that's incorrect. It's my side.
Right.
So you can't, there's no way for a general population to say which one is correct. But I would wager that if the one's telling them they're going to live and the other one's telling them they're going to die, they're going to opt for the one that says they're going to live.
True.
And then everything's going to be rosy and wonderful, you know?
True.
That sounds a lot better to me.
True.
But, you know,
we've talked about this before, though, and it's a lot like the Republicans denying climate change. And Right. In this particular case, you're not on the side of choosing what's nicer, rosier, easier, and better. You're on the side of, no, actually, calamity is coming.
Right.
So you can see
how... I can see how that would happen, yes. And I can see how it plays out. But again, if you are on... And just to take the example of today, if you are on the side where you are being propagandized to believe that climate change isn't a real thing, that and world calamity because of it is not coming, that's a lot more peaceful idea than it is coming.
Sure.
And it's a lot nicer to think that our actions are not causing these things. Obviously, I'm not saying that those are correct. But again, when you have two sides of any story, how is the one side that's getting their information from one of those sides supposed to know that that information is incorrect and ours is correct?
So you're having sympathy for the people of the city, and you're having sympathy for the Republicans that were just brought up that way.
I do have sympathy. A lot of them don't choose to dig in any deeper than just what they hear.
Right.
I don't have sympathy once someone decides to do the research for themselves and then decide they're still correct.
Right.
I don't have sympathy for the people who are spreading the news saying that these things are not correct because they're obviously lying.
Right.
I do. The people that don't know better.
Right.
You know, they often don't dig any deeper into it to find out that they are incorrect.
Right.
And yes, I do have sympathy for those.
Okay. Then I was just trying to spell that out. Have that spelled out.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So when the princes of Judah, not princesses, princes.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of Judah.
The ones with the ding dongs.
Yeah. When they heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets, which I'm assuming they mean false prophets.
Sure.
Spoke to the princes and all the people saying, so they're setting up court here.
Okay. Yeah.
Saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Not with your buttholes, with your ears. This is what you heard.
Right.
With your nose.
Yeah.
No.
No, not your nose.
No.
No, your ears. Yeah.
Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people saying, look, that's not what he said. I just put that in there because it's fun to say that.
Sure.
The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you.
So they're still they're talking about putting him to death.
Yes.
They're holding court and asking, like, hey, we should kill this dude.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, no, you're still all wrong.
Yeah.
And you could still save yourselves. He's still pronouncing the same things.
Yes. Even at sword point.
Which is supposed to make us feel like, man, this guy really fucking believes, right?
He's brave.
But he was whiny about it earlier, too.
Yeah.
And he was complaining how he was, you know, always being threatened. He wanted God to get after him.
Yeah.
Know?
Get him.
So.
Yeah. He's a wishy-washy character that I am not. I still don't like him.
I feel like they put this in here to make him feel to sound a little
stronger
than he has come across thus far.
Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah.
As for me, says Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing.
Okay.
So he's like, do what you feel is right, but that doesn't change the facts. And my life is in your hands. Yeah, this is not the same Jeremiah.
No.
That we've been reading about.
No.
He was a whiny little fuck.
This is definitely a...
This is an add-on, I feel like.
It feels that way.
They put a sticky note, but they put it on the wrong page.
Right.
That's what happened. So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, oh, that was so moving. Did you know that?
Was it that what they said?
No, because listen.
Okay.
Listen, I didn't realize that was such a moving speech. Listen to what they're about to say. Ready?
I'm listening.
Oh, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God.
Wait, what? He said that all throughout his speech.
But not a sword point.
Oh, okay. This is bullshit. This is utter crap.
What's the matter? You don't like it?
No, this is not how this conversation went. I can tell this is not how these things happen. No, this is not correct.
This is a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Where you're speaking before a crowd and suddenly the crowd is swayed by your magical words.
Right, right.
Because the pen is mightier than the sword and shit like that.
Well, and again, they're making him seem so much braver than he has come across up till now.
Right.
Like, this just doesn't, none of this meshes up with me.
No, me neither. Then certain of the elders in the land, of the land, rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, you know, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. And did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves.
Now, let's just stop it right there, because
I was going to stop it right there anyway.
Okay, but there is something that says that if you do false prophecy, you should be put to death. And that's one of God's laws.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So again, there were probably people in that time that were, quote unquote, giving false prophecies that did get put to death. Mm-hmm. And how are you supposed to, I still don't understand how you're supposed to determine
which one is which real one is correct, which one is false. Not,
because prophecies are something that happen in the future.
Well,
right? So
the way that you're supposed to know the difference is that any of them that follow the Torah, the law, that's the true ones.
So you're supposed to deem the truth by their actions that they follow in life. Like if they follow the letter of the law in the Torah.
Uh-huh.
That person is obviously speaking truth because they are a godly with person. God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To an extent, I can sort of understand that message, but there's a lot of people that would. I still don't see how you can judge it, because there's, even if someone's not, they can claim that they are.
Right.
So like, there's not, you don't have somebody spying on these people full time to understand that this person is following in the way, this person is not, etc. So there is still no real legitimate way to understand who is true and who is not. And that's even after we account for the fact that God isn't real and we're just basing this off of some bullshit to begin with. Well, so
another way, though, is that God has definitely spoken out against false idols, right? And against pagan actions and Christmas trees, right?
But you're talking to a bunch of people who don't have the ability to read, and they're basing their opinions on what somebody else that can read is telling them. So to say that, yes, God has said that, that's great. But where has God said that to them, other than through these prophets, other than through these people who are talking to them about this shit? How do they know these things?
Right. Like, if they're going to church every Sunday and their priest is like, no, don't believe those prophets. That's a bunch of bullshit. It doesn't say that in there.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's true.
There's still no way for them to know.
Right.
Especially in a very illiterate world, which is what, you know, BCE would be very not literate. You know, there's a lot of people that are not going to be able to read. That's a very high status place to be in life, is someone who can read and understand.
Right.
So I call bullshit.
I also am calling bullshit.
Was that the end?
No, that was not the end.
Okay.
I'm telling you a thing, but I was waiting for you to calm down.
Sorry. I apologize.
Because you were very,
for being so adamant about that.
Yeah, you were kind of worked up.
I was a little bit.
So the prophecy of Micah is one that we're going to read about. There's a whole book called Micah.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's coming up.
Got it.
But
so they cross-referenced another.
They cross-referenced.
Wow. Which is funny, because we just talked about that.
You literally just mentioned that.
Yeah.
So this whole conversation and Micah's deal that they're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going to read about that.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. Prophesied against the city. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to find my place. Sorry. Oh, here we go. So we're doing great evil against ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. So there's another prophet we're going to talk about.
Okay. Yeah.
And when Joachim the king and all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. So this other prophet, he was like, oh, they are coming to get me. I'm leaving. Bye.
Okay.
So this other prophet that they're using as an example, that guy was he was also saying some similar shit, and we chased him out of town. He went to Egypt.
Yeah.
But Joachim the king sent men to Egypt, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and other men who went with him to Egypt, they brought Uriah from Egypt and brought him to Joachim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people.
Oh, damn.
So he got killed. And also, I read in notes that it was part of the treaty that they had with Egypt that there were extradition laws.
Oh, okay.
So that's how they were able to bring him back out of Egypt.
Gotcha.
And so they brought him home and were like, you're not going to talk this shit.
Right.
And they killed him.
Wow.
So.
Wow. So these messages were not very popular.
They were not. And Jeremiah knows this. And so he's saying it anyway. And so again, we're supposed to find him very brave.
I think to some extent that could maybe be said to be true. But he also, in other chapters, they kind of referred to him as being sequestered away from other people and sending messages via messengers and and talking to the Lord as though he's scared. So it doesn't mesh up exactly the way this chapter portrays it.
I think that's another thing, though, is that he started out delivering messages and, you know, not like you said, sequestered from the people. But now the Lord is like, OK, now's the next step. You need to actually go talk to the people.
Except that this was prior to, like, this is, we're going backward in time, though.
No, it's true.
So
it's true.
The timelines don't mash up with
what. I don't know what order all of it happened.
Sure.
So I'm trying to place this in the order that all of this happened.
Sure.
He might have been whiny and been saying, but I don't want to go talk to the people.
Right.
And then, you know, then he does go and he's like, okay, I'm going to talk to the people.
Sure.
He's like, fuck me. My life is in your hands and whatever.
I guess. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, this Uriah whatever guy, that was like 100 years ago before this. But they still remember that shit.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, I can't say these names. I apologize. I'm really fucking them up. The son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah. So this Ahikam guy, he's like one of his advocates.
Okay.
So he had some persuasion. He had some
influence.
Influence. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you. And he was with Jeremiah so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death.
Got it.
The end.
Okay.
So they're gonna make it another day.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, I guess they're still gonna die, but now Jeremiah sounds a lot more powerful and
brave than he ever did.
So that's great.
I like how these people, the characters in this book, they change depending on what we need them to be.
It's true.
Sometimes they're fraidy cats and we're like, yeah, I don't fucking blame them. And then other times they're brave and we're supposed to be like, oh, that's so brave.
I'm just going to forget about all that other shit from before.
Right.
So
until we need them to be like us again. And then we're like, I don't blame him. Yeah. That is scary.
It's true. Yep. Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 26.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that tomorrow we'll be back with
Jeremiah chapter 27.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.